thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And I ask you, Lord God, to speak to us tonight. Open our hearts to all that you have for us. And Lord, I thank you that you want to speak into hearts tonight and you want to release some potential tonight. And I thank you, Father God, that you will speak and that you'll do your work. And I give you praise. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about falling short. Or in fact, not falling short would be better, wouldn't it? Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of... Oh, you're quick. What have they done? Fall short of the... Oh, you're hopeless. Fall short of the... Oh, we're getting there. All right. So what Paul is the writer of this, one of the early church leaders, and he's saying that everybody falls short of the expectation of God. They fall short. Now, that falling short actually means to get behind in a race. It actually means to lose. It means to fall behind the expectation of what your life could be. And that's the way it is for all of us. I think everybody who breathes and lives and walks and does stuff falls short of the expectation that God has of them and the possibility of their life. And even those that achieve great things in a worldly sort of sense, if they're not actually serving God, if they haven't engaged what God's got for them, well, it really doesn't matter what else is going on, they've fallen short of what God has. Let alone every one of us who sins basically every day and does the wrong thing. How many people here sin every day at least? How many people think they sin probably every hour? Can I just raise it? Every hour? Do something wrong every hour. What about every half an hour? Is anybody here every half an hour? Is there anybody here every 15? Yeah, he's still got his hand up. That's good. Every 15 minutes. What do you reckon? Every 15 minutes. So we can expect you to... Oh, no, that's it. All right. So we can just about survive the message without heinous sin. All right, that's probably a good thing. But everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God. The same guy in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, he says, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my... He's not some masochist, all right? He's talking about getting himself under control in life. He says, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This is the same guy that wrote and said that we all fall short. And he said, I want to make sure I take care of myself. I want to make sure that I keep myself under control so that having even preached to others, and this guy was planting churches and preaching all over the known world around the Roman Empire and so on. He said that I've preached to others. I don't want to be disqualified and fall short of what God has for me. So the reality is that everybody falls short. But I don't want us to make that a habit in our lives of falling short of what God has for us. Because I see people go through life and they maybe make a Christian commitment, but then they just continue to fall short of the possibility of their life. And I want to share with you tonight three ideas. There are really three ways to fall short, and I want you to reverse them so that you don't fall short. Does that make sense? Three ways to fall short, but I want you to reverse these so that you don't. That's the whole idea. And by the end of the night, I hope we can get some people actually doing something a little bit amazing so that they can visually show us that it's possible to do something great. Okay, it may not be all that great. It won't be like climbing Mount Everest or something like that, but hopefully it'll be something at least dynamic and demonstrative, and it'll be good fun. So before we're finished in the next 5 minutes or so, I'm going to need three gentlemen who aren't particularly heavy. I want three fairly athletic, relatively athletic gentlemen who aren't particular. I don't want anybody with back problems or knee problems because this could become an issue, but not particularly heavy. I think anybody over probably 70 kilos or so, we got another use for you in a moment. I'm going to need six larger men in a minute, and we're going to make use of you as well. These are probably guys over 80 or 85 kilos. We want some bigger guys here. We're going to make use of you as well. But in a minute, I want three fairly slim individuals who are a bit athletic and ready to have a go at something. Because the first way that people fall short, the Bible talks, this is the kindergarten of like Christian life we're getting into now, okay? We just start with the kindergarten of Christian life. The first thing the Bible says that makes us fall short is what? It was in the first reference. What did it say? We all sin and we fall short of the glory of God. So the first thing that's going to make you fall short is those sins that you do every half hour, every hour, every day, or whatever it is that you put your hand up and confess to at the start of the message. So whatever confession you made there, they're the things that are actually making you and me fall short of the glory of God. When He wants me to be a loving husband and a loving father, there are things that I do wrong that cause me to fall short of what He could do for me. When you're in a relationship with somebody, a loving, caring relationship, there are things that you do that are wrong and cause you to fall short of the honor and glory of God. Now, the Bible says that you should respect your parents. Now, before the service this evening, I'm just standing out in the prayer meeting, minding my own business, and one of my daughters comes in and punches me in the arm. Now, I don't know what it is about my daughters, but they both have the capacity to somehow make it between the flesh and the muscle and hit the bone. I don't know how they do it with all that muscle there. There's not a lot of bone, you know, but they somehow manage to do that. Now, I'm just going to say to you that that sin would cause somebody to fall short of the glory of God in honoring her father. You get the idea? That's what I'm talking about. Sin makes you fall short of the glory of God. You can all laugh, but I think you've probably done worse stuff. So sin is one of those things that makes us fall short. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve," and it says God and money in that reference. In the old reference, it says God and mammon. And I looked up that word mammon because, well, that's a really strange word. How many people here go around using the word mammon in everyday conversation? It's not a normal conversational word, is it? It's not actually just money. It actually means anything that we have of value, anything that we treasure. And we translate it today to be money because that's probably the easiest translation to make. But what it's saying is that if we choose something other than the glory of God, then that for us is a choice of sin that causes us to fall short of the glory of God. And there's all kinds of things in our lives that we choose to do or not to do that constitute wrongdoing in the eyes of God, particularly and in our own eyes most of the time, where most people know. Well, you know, you go up to somebody today, and I don't advise you do that, but if you went up to somebody and said, "You're a filthy, rotten sinner," then, you know, in their saner moments, they'd probably go, after they punched you in the head, they'd probably go, "Yeah, that's probably right. I am a filthy, rotten sinner." That's probably true about most of us. And we understand that about human nature, that we've got this junk inside of us, a tendency towards sin, towards falling short of what God has got for us. And Jesus said that. He said, you can make this choice every day, every moment. You're going to make a choice between honoring God or serving yourself and money and treasures and pleasures and all that sort of stuff. And that's a choice you'll make. And the choice you make there each moment, every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes, every hour, whatever it is, the choice that you make there will determine how far short of the glory of God that you're going to fall. And the first thing we need to do is get rid of that stuff off our lives. Now, I am going to need this help in a minute. Let me just read you the scripture we're going to work on, and then I'll need some help. Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," that's talking about all the people who've gone before us, who've sought to live a life that honors God. And so there's all these thousands, millions of people gone before us, and they've tried, young people, older people, all kinds, and they've tried with all their hearts to live a life that honors God. So all these people have gone before. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us. So I brought along with me, Allah, the biggest loser, I brought along with me something that will hinder. Now I need my three volunteers. Where are they? The fella at the back had his hand up. Bradley, very good. I've been thinking Adrian should be in this. I would like Adrian in this. I think Josh Whalen would be a good choice. Come on, Josh. Now, one of you needs to bring the hindrances with you. Just one of you grab that little hindrance there. Thank you very much. Now, come up here. Now, your objective, before the night is out, the three of you are going to be leaping into the front row. Okay, that's the objective we're coming to, all right? Now, come over here, don't be shy. Now, what you need to do is we need to rig somebody up with this hindrance. It's not that heavy, is it? It's Bradley, is it? Okay, put that on front first. Now on your front. This is going to be a bit of a strange. Now you need to help him there, Josh. And you need to get it all nicely done. It's not that heavy, is it? It's all right. I just had one hand there holding that. It was all right. And turn around there. Now you need to clip him up at the back here because otherwise it might fall off. Now what I want you to do, Bradley, is... Have we got any more straps there? I think there was more straps, but they seem to... Did you something to them. There's no bricks in there at all. Now, what you need to do, you've not had a fat belly, so you don't know this, but if you don't hold underneath a fat belly, then it might just rip your shoulders out. So just make sure you hold underneath that fat belly. When a big fat belly guy is going to jump off into something, he's going to hold his belly, all right? That's what he's going to do, and then he's going to leap off. So what I want you to do, hold on nice and hard there. What I want you, you guys maybe get down there and stop him from running, falling over, injuring himself. But what I want you to do now is I want you to jump. Heather, you might need to just move a little bit. You might never. But what I want you to do now is I want you to leap into the front row. Yeah, leap into the front row. Here we go. He's going to leap into the front row. Leaping in. He's leaping. Oh, that was... Give him a big hand. That, fantastic. How many people would like to see Adrian leap into the front? Okay, you can take the... Help him unclip that there from the back. Just don't get fat, buddy. That's what it's like. All right, pop that on. Oh, look at that. He might make it. Just pop that on. You guys ready to catch him, aren't you? That's because he's such mega muscly back that you can't do it up. All right. Now, you don't have experience as a fat guy either, so make sure you hold underneath the fat belly, all right? And you're going to leap into the front row. Here we go. Whoa, baby. Whoa, mama. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? Give him a big hand. Now, I don't think we'll try to break Josh's back. He needs to be healthy for the mission trip, so we'll leave him till last. Thanks, guys. Have a seat, but don't go too far because you'll be back in a minute. How many people know that's a hindrance? You know, the Bible says that we should just chuck off the hindrances. If I get a relatively thin guy and I put that, that's very heavy. Anybody want to come and do some arm curls while we're just talking about this? I'd like to see somebody arm curl that. Who? Come on. I'd like to see Mitch and Colin come up here and arm curl this for me, please. I don't know. Oh, yeah. I can get one. Come on, lads. Let's see if you can do an arm curl with that. Just a five. Yeah, well, come on. Just a quick five set. Come on. Just five. There, one, two... Three. That's fantastic. Mitch, now let's see a quick 10 from you because you're a muscly chap. Don't put your backside to the people. What are you doing? My goodness me. You've got no etiquette. Just a quick 10. What are you doing? Just a quick 10. I said a quick 10. Just a quick 10. All right, that'll do you. Let's see. Give him a good hand. All right. So... What we're thinking about now. See, if I get a relatively thin guy to come up here and put that on their belly, and they gain about 20 kilos or whatever that is, and they try to then leap into the front row, it's not going to work. But there's people who are trying to live the Christian life, or they're trying to live a good life, or they're trying, you know, maybe they're not trying to honor God, but whatever's going on, but they've got this weight of sin that's on them. All their wrongdoing, all the hurt, all the lies, all the junk that's in their life, they've got it on them. And the first thing we've got to do, if we're going to actually achieve our potential in life, what God has for us and to honor Him, first thing we've got to do is chuck that thing off. We've just got to get that thing off us. And if you're here tonight and you haven't made that decision yet to chuck off sin and throw it away and say, God, come and clean me out of all the muck from my past, then that's the beginning point for you tonight. The beginning point is to say, I want to get rid of that heavy weight, get it off me. And if I'm actually seriously, regularly sinning, there's stuff in my life that's just a mess and filth and garbage, and I've got that going in my life, then it's time to get rid of that thing out of my life and say, God, I'm ready to live for a higher life. I'm ready to go for something better. I'm ready to rise up above that rubbish that might be normal and actually get a little bit higher on the pecking order, and let me just get out there and have a go and see if I can't bring a bit of honor to the name of the Lord, okay? So the starting point is to get rid of the heavy stuff, the muck that is containing you and holding you back. And honestly, the sin that we are, the wrongdoing, that muck that we let in our lives, that will hold us back more than anything else from achieving what God has got for us. But there's a second one. That's the first one. If you want to learn how not to fall short and actually get there, the first one is chuck off that heavy weight. Get rid of that sin. Even as a Christian, if you're a person and you've already asked God to forgive you, but there's some besetting stuff in your life that's just not good, you know it's not healthy, not right, it's probably time to get rid of that. Go along to one of our cell meetings, talk to your cell leader, have a chat about it, pray together, be accountable together, and get rid of that thing. I can't tell you the number of guys over the years, because we all know that the porno thing on the net is just a big deal for guys. And I can't tell you the number of guys who've come into a cell meeting or into a counseling time and at some point have said, look, I'm struggling with that. And I'll tell you now, 9 times out of 10, when that guy makes that confession to somebody they trust, that's the end of the deal. The thing is finished right there because the air's taken out of it, the light's put on it, and 9 times out of 10, that thing is dealt with. Because it's a common besetting thing that they know they need to deal with. There's all kinds of stuff like that. People who gossip, people who backbite, people who criticize, all kinds of things. If you just bring them out in the light and have a bit of accountability with somebody, you can get rid of that thing out of your life. If you're a negative person, always putting people down, always having a go at this, the Bible calls it sitting in the seat of the scoffer or the scornful. Someone who's pathetic in their own life but just wants to scoff at everybody else to make himself feel good. If you want to get out of that position, the beginning point is to actually confess it and say, that's what I'm like. I want to change that. I want to become a positive person who supports other people and encourages other people and lifts them up. Don't want that rubbish in my life. That's all that heavy stuff that's holding you back from being all that God would have you to be. Amen? Second thing. You ready for the second one? Good. The second one is pathetic religion. I hate pathetic religion. I hate religion pretty much of all kinds. Had the Mormons have a chat with me the other day, and the guy says, are you religious? And I said, well, I really don't like that term. And we had a little discussion about what the difference was between religion and a real love for God. And I just don't, I'm not really comfortable with that idea of religion because it's got that dry, dusty, horrible sort of feel to it. But the thing I think maybe even worse is a pathetic religion. Someone, and the Bible calls it being lukewarm or half-hearted, and I love what God says about it. Revelations 3:16, the one you got there I think is out of the NIV. It says, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But I'd like to read it to you out of the old King James. Would that be okay? Oh, okay. It says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I don't know about you, that just appeals to me. I would just like to be able to say to somebody, I want to spew thee out of my mouth because you just make me sick. That's what God says to people who are lukewarm. And I think he says it in an old King James sort of accent. And he says, I want to spew thee out of my mouth. The thing that we understand here is that a pathetic, lukewarm Christianity is never going to get where God wants you to get. Yeah. Someone who is just hopeless, just is allowing the world to dictate terms to them. Someone who doesn't have convictions and values based around the Word of God. Someone who just is sort of half in the kingdom of God and half out and just pathetic. That person is not going to get where God wants them to be. Is that all right? They're not going to get there. Not going to bring honor and glory to God. Nobody's going to be glorified and honored by someone who's pathetic. Yeah, and I saw this guy the other day. I don't know whether I don't understand the whole player sort of concept, but I think this guy might have been thinking he was sort of that kind of dude. Because he got out of, he's got this beautiful young woman who's driven the car in, and here's this guy, I won't say what he's like, I won't go the stereotype, but anyway, he gets out of the car, just shuts the door and walks off. And I'm watching from inside the restaurant. I'm thinking, what a flippin' idiot. And next minute, this beautiful young woman gets out the other side of the car, locks it, and it's one of those cars that don't have central locking, you know, so it's got to be actually, the door's got to be locked. She locks her door, goes around the other side, locks his door, shuts it, and follows him into the restaurant. And I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm going, girl, ditch that guy right now. Don't wait till 5 minutes. Don't wait to get into the restaurant. Ditch him now. Why are you putting up with that kind of pathetic treatment from this dweeb who's not... Now, I might have misjudged that situation completely. But I'm just sharing with you an illustration and a thought that if you've got some bloke who treats you like dirt,
then why would you put up with that? If you've got some pathetic creature that won't care for you, that won't love you, that won't be positive, that won't build you up, that is just expecting you to do whatever you want, if you've got that kind of idiot hanging around, then why on earth would you put up with that? The only reason I can think of to put up with that is that somehow your self-worth is so bad you don't think you can do any better. There's just that kind of pathetic stuff just doesn't wash with me. I just can't handle that when I see a beautiful young woman with a tremendous possibility in life putting up with that sort of rubbish going on. And the same the other way around, to be frank. The same the other way around. Why would you bother doing that? And God's exactly the same. There's no way he's getting out of the car and locking the other door. He's not putting up with that sort of behavior. He's not going to say, oh, well, you can do whatever you like to me and I won't do anything. No, he says, if you're going to be lukewarm and pathetic, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm not interested in that kind of passionless, pathetic relationship. I want someone who's on fire. I want someone who loves me. I want someone who's committed to my cause. I want someone who's on the team. I want someone who's ready to rip. I play a lot of sport, still play, always have played a lot of sport. And I tell you now, it sickens me when we go to play and someone's not putting in. It's just, I love team sports. I just really enjoy team sports. But when someone is there, they haven't done the training, they haven't done the preparation, they're not trying hard on the field, oh, that's so irritating. And I just feel like I want to spew thee out of my mouth. That's how I feel. I'd be nice about it because I'm a good Christian man. I won't say anything. But I just feel that way. I just want you to get off the field now and don't come back. That's the way I feel about this pathetic sort of effort. So I would like our three guys. Did I give you any scriptures on that? I gave you Revelation, didn't I? Yeah. Hebrews 5 verse 12. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. I'm just checking the time. I'm doing all right. Teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. It's talking about pathetic Christians who are not progressing and are just holding back all the time. Holding back. Hold back in worship. Hold back in reading the word of God. Hold back in praying for people. Hold back in this and that. Just holding back. Just holding back all the time. What I'd like is my three volunteers. Well, my one volunteer and my two others. No. The first. Come on. The three. I would like, because our aim by the end of the night is to have you leaping into the front row. And we're going to get there. But right now, just for illustrative purposes, I would like you to stand on the edge and I'd like to see a pathetic jump from each of you. Yeah, a pathetic jump. I know that's hard for you, but a pathetic jump. This is not the ministry of silly walk. Just a pathetic jump would be. Yeah, that was... Oh, you can go and sit down. That was strange. Let's go for pathetic. Pathetic. Someone beat that. Pathetic jump. Just a pathetic jump. Oh, that was pathetic. Don't you think that was pathetic? Yeah, I like it. Here we go. Awesome. Now we got it. All right. So three pathetic jumps. That was a pathetic hand clap for those three guys doing their pathetic. That's probably fair enough. We've had someone who has got the heaviness of life and sin and muck and stuff on their life, and that's holding them back. We've got people who have a pathetic effort and just sort of half-heartedly, you know, I'm gonna have a go at this Christian thing. Oh, it didn't work. They show up at a cell group every week. Did you read the word this week? Oh, no, I couldn't do it. Oh, what? You can't read? Oh, no, I can read. I haven't got any time. Oh, yeah, okay. You watch The Simpsons for 6 hours because it's on go and on everything else. You know, you didn't have 5 minutes to read the Bible and do something. Oh, but I couldn't do that and God doesn't talk to me. Oh, my goodness gracious. My father used to say, my goodness gracious, Gustavus George. And I really understand it because you've just got to have more expletives to understand without swearing somebody who is behaving like such an idiot being so pathetic. Honestly, the easiest thing in the Christian life is to get up in the morning. I hesitate to say at night, but at night if you have to without going to sleep. But the easiest thing is to get up, just read something out of the Bible. I mean, even today you can get audio book Bible. I mean, you don't even have to open a book. Don't even have to think. It's talking at you. I mean, honestly, it just gets something in you from the Word of God. And yet there's this sort of pathetic, mealy-mouthed sort of Christian. Why don't we worship God tonight? Oh, I don't want to. And all that sort of stuff. That's just pathetic. Now, I can understand being people being pathetic. I can understand they've got issues and hang-ups and all that sort of stuff. I'm really happy to try to work through that and help encourage and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying tonight is if you really want to get where God wants you to get, don't make that a habit. Don't make that part of your life. Don't live in that space where you allow the pathetic thing to keep going. You know, whatever it is that you're trying to overcome, don't let the pathetic thing get a hold of you and keep on top of you. The scripture says, the Bible says that we are actually victors. We're people who have victory in our lives. We're people who actually overcome stuff and get stuff done. That's who we are. God has made you that way. He has put it inside of you. All you got to do is discover how to release it and let it go. Amen? Is that all right? Last one, third one. First one was sin. Second one is pathetic religion. The third one is fear, doubt, and uncertainty. Unbelief. Fear, doubt, uncertainty, unbelief. Someone who has gotten basically rid of the sin thing. They really want to live holy and, you know, they're not perfect, but they're having a go at that one. Someone who has got past the pathetic thing is now actually meeting with God and is doing worshiping and getting in fellowship, and they're starting to do some stuff. They're starting to run a little bit, get a bit of activity happening, that person. But then there's fears and doubts and anxieties and unbelief that's getting a hold of them that is stopping them from taking the leap of faith that's going to be required for them to get where they need to go. And that's where I'm heading to tonight. The first couple of things really were just by way of preparation. I really want to get to the place where we're actually going to take a leap out in faith onto something that God calls us to. Now, we've had Ash Davo, who for the last 12 months has just worked her butt off in order to leap out. And we went over there Thursday night, and she's just so nervous about, you know, getting on the plane and leaving all of us behind and heading over into this new environment where they speak a different language and they eat all sorts of different food. And I don't know whether she was more frightened about Hong Kong or the plane. I'm not quite sure. I think it was the plane, actually. But she's just doing all that. But I tell you what I saw. I saw a young woman who some years ago has put off the weight of sin. And I said, I don't want sin in my life. And I've known Ash since she was a little kid, since she was born. And so I've seen all of that and her come to a place of putting off the sin thing and saying, I want to please God. I've seen someone who is not a pathetic individual in terms of seeking God, but has started to step up. Started to get involved. I remember seeing her starting to get involved with the worship team and actually getting out in front of people and singing, which was really threatening and difficult for her to do. And yet she's done that in order to step up and to be counted and do something for the glory of God. So I've seen a person who's put off that sin, has had a go, started to work through the pathetic issues that we all have, and started to get moving onto what God has got. And you know what I saw the other day? I saw someone who finally took that leap of faith into what God has got for her to do. Who knows what we'll see happen over the next 12 months in her life. There were some words that God put into my heart for her that I'll continue to pray for her over the next 12 months as God is going to actually do something wonderful inside of her because she has taken a leap of faith into something. We heard the other week in our morning service about some women who've started a soup kitchen down in Port Kembla. Some women, just ordinary women out of our church who said, we want to do something about the problems and the dramas of our city. And guess what? They took a leap of faith. And one of those women got saved in our church. I remember the day that she put aside the bag of sin and all that muck that was in her life. I remember seeing her. I know. I've seen it. I've watched it as she has put aside the pathetic issues of life, all the worth issues, all that sort of stuff, and has grown and developed to a place now where she takes a leap of faith into something that God has called her to do. And I tonight would like to get some of you to a place where you're ready to take that leap of faith. To say, God, what is it that you're saying for me to do? What is it that I can do for your glory and for your honor? What is it? Where can I serve? How can I help? What needs are there I can do something about? Because I want to take that leap of faith. I want to jump out into something. And it might be as simple as sharing the gospel with your friends and family. It might just simply begin with that leap of faith that says, I'm going to tell somebody else that I'm a Christian. I'm not going to just be the secret Sunday night City Life attendee, but I'm actually going to tell somebody else that I love God and I wish they would too. And I'm going to take a leap of faith outside of my insecurities and my hang-ups and my baggage and actually do something for the glory of God. Is that all right? Good. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. And then we're going to see if we can get these guys jumping. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. There's something good there, and we'll get there in a tick. Is it up for there for you? Good. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. That's not confidence in yourself. It's confidence in God. It's a trust in the finished work of God. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. I love that last little phrase. We are not of those who shrink back. I just think that should describe every one of us. We are not of those who shrink back. I love taking people on, I don't do it much anymore, but I love taking the guys on these mission trips into these foreign cultures. One of the great fun things is to watch them freak out over the different cultural issues that go on and to watch them overcome that and continue serving God. I just think that's absolutely wonderful to see somebody who says, I will not shrink back. All my panic buttons are being pressed, all the drama, it's all happening. Sorry, Beck, I shouldn't talk about that while you haven't gone yet. But all that stuff's happening. But I tell you what, I'm going to keep my maturity in God. I'm going to keep my Christian walk together, and I'm going to push through and serve God anyway. And I have seen now probably dozens of people make that transition and actually come to a place of being really threatened, just not physically or in great fear or danger, but just by the circumstances, the foreignness of it all, and make that decision to step up and be counted. I think that's a wonderful part of what happens in these mission trips that guys do. And I want to encourage each one of us to take that kind of step of faith. Now, let's get these guys up. We need to get rid of those first three chairs. I'd say you girls probably need to move. I need my six larger gentlemen to come in here. We need that pushed back because we're getting serious now about the leap of faith that these guys are going to do. I do need some six fairly strong chaps. Let's go. Let's have you. Come on. Bigger guys. Let's have you out here. Let's go. Six, take your watches off if you have them on. That's two. I need six. Thank you. No, you're not jumping. You're catching. I hope so. I need two more. Let's go. Come on, Graham, if you would. That'd be great. Graham and Cole there at the back. Good. Now, I just need to give instructions to you guys to start with. Yeah, you can either go cross, but probably just straight might be best. And the Roman grip, that's it. And whatever you do, do not let go. Okay, whatever you do, do not let go. Now, we have padding on the floor. These guys are ready. Keep your heads back or maybe turned away a little bit because legs and arms may be flailing. Now, we're going to find out from these guys how far they think they can go before we get them. How far do you reckon you can go? How far? You're going to get a run-up. How far do you reckon you can go? We don't want you to go too far. I don't want to break any bones. You reckon you can get that? Would you like them to come this way a little bit? Okie dokie. Can I have somebody who's at the front here as a bit of a safety person? That'd be nice. Yeah, no, they'll be right. Just there, just in case he falls short, yeah. You ready? You want to... Now, what you're going to do is it's hands first, all right? Up, got our hands up, and a big dive straight into it, okay? You ready? All right, when you're ready... Don't laugh. You ready? One, two, three. Oh, yeah! Big hand! That's awesome. Woo! That's very good. All right, other way. We got more coming. Now, what do you reckon, Josh? I think they maybe should come this way a touch. Yeah, that'll do. Oh, not too far. This has got to have enough danger in it to have... That's a touch close, I think, yeah. That'll do. That's good. That's just got that nice edge of edge of danger that we like to see. Yeah, you're right, you're right. You are going on this trip tomorrow morning, aren't you? Yeah, don't be breaking anything, all right? We don't want any of that going on. You ready? One, two, three! Oh, yeah! That's it. That's what we like to see. Nothing broken. Everything intact there. You're okay. He's going to hobble off. All right, last. How far back do you reckon, Adrian? I reckon they can just back it up. Just back it on up. Then you reckon they can do that? I can do that. Can I? Andrew, do you want to come here for a minute? Just in case. Take your watch off. We don't want anybody hurt. That's beautiful. Is it any good, this watch? Do I want to keep it? No, I'll give it back. I think I'll give that one back. That's all right. You ready? One, two, three. Awesome. Thank you, everybody. Have a seat, have a seat, have a seat. Adrian, you want your watch? No? All right, I'll keep it. That's all right. Fantastic. Take your seats. Keep calm. It's all good. You didn't believe me, did you? I said we were going to be leaping into the front row. That'll do. Just leave that. Awesome. I mean, to be honest with you, that's God really spoke to me about that tonight and said the word he gave me was falling short. And he said, I don't want my people falling short. I don't want them falling short of what they can do in life. And the three things that will stop you from getting where God and make you fall short. One, the sin that weighs you down. The junk that you leave in your life and you don't deal with. Those guys wouldn't have a prayer of making that jump with that thing on their belly. It's just, you saw them, they didn't even get halfway. And if they tried to dive, they'd just be face planting on the concrete. It'd be great. That stuff just not going to work. And people do that in their lives. They have mess and junk in their lives and they face plant all the time. They just mess up because of that. First thing, get rid of that. Second thing is don't be pathetic. Don't stand on the edge of the precipice and go, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't be like that. Don't be that person who's always holding back, always holding back. Always. Come to that place in life where you're convinced about the blessing of God. We've got six strong people who represent for us both the love and the strength and protection of God and also our good friends that God will put around us, those that will stand with us. They represent all of that to us. Get to a place where you have that confidence in the goodness of God, where you'll actually take that leap of faith. And there might be stuff, I believe there is stuff tonight that God's been speaking into the hearts of people, and you need to make that leap of faith. There's stuff that he's calling you to do. There's commitments to make. There's stuff to rise up in your own life. And it's time to make that leap of faith and trust God. Amen? Why don't we stand together as we pray? Thank you, Lord.